Hey guys, my name's Adam. I'm the head coach at Copper State Fit. Our purpose is to educate, entertain, and inspire you to lead a fit and healthy lifestyle. We hope that by sharing our client stories and providing you with tools, tips, and information that you can apply, that you'll seize the opportunity by turning thought into action. Stick around till the end and we'll provide you with the next steps that you can take, along with helpful links in the show notes. That said, thank you in advance for listening and enjoy the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the CSF podcast. This is episode number 14, and it has been a while. And one of the things I want to do this year, keeping with the theme of our what we do have our clients do, is what's one thing we want to keep doing, stop doing, start doing. And I guess right now I'm going to commit to start doing more regular podcast episodes. Today's podcast, we have a guest, and this is going to be really a case study. So we've done a lot of podcasts and where we've got clients on that we invite on after they've completed the journey, but this one's a little different. This one's going to be kind of a midway point. And I think it's neat because our goal will be to follow up at the end of this journey to see how things turned out. But more importantly, I just really want to hear from our guests today how they got to this point, because they've made some pretty remarkable changes. And we've got Carol Peterson on today. Carol, welcome to the CSF podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the title of our podcast, just to get a little bit excited about what we're going to talk about today, is how Carol lost 42 pounds and avoided weight loss surgery. So we're going to get into a little bit of that here in a minute. But Carol, why don't we start out with you telling us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from? What do you do for work? What are some of your hobbies, interests? I'll turn it over to you.
Well, I'm one of those rare Arizona natives. I'm not a transplant from Ohio, like everybody seems to be.
Ohio, and, Iowa.
Yeah.
Up there, Nebraska, Midwest, our neighbor right down the streets in Nebraska. And believe it or not, we've got a ton of clients from the Midwest up there. So shout out to them.
Great place to live, but there's a lot of you.
Yeah, for sure.
I work for a local credit union here in Arizona in the talent acquisition / human resource department as an operations specialist. I simplified down. I pretty much just assist all new hires through their pre-employment screening process up to their first day of starting.
Right on. So yeah. A typical day, what does a typical day look like for you then, Carol? You're working from home most of the time, or?
Yep, I work from home remotely 100%. And I just constantly keeping in contact with our new hires, making sure that they're getting through their processes, through background screenings, and answering any questions they might have. It allows me a little bit of freedom to work on myself as well, too. So
yeah,
which we can touch definitely.
On most definitely.
Yeah.
What would you say when it comes to your job? What are the biggest challenges? What are the biggest hurdles with your job?
You know, probably employment checks.
Yeah.
For new hires. That for some reason can be the struggle bus for some individuals to really nail down their experience and their work history.
Gotcha. Well, definitely important to know, is this person who they say they are, right? So we'll say you're the gatekeeper, right?
Yes. Yep.
Awesome. What are your hobbies and interests? I mean, what I know you've gotten into some new hobbies since starting on your health and fitness journey, but generally speaking, what are your hobbies and interests?
You know, really before I started this process, it was more all homebound type of hobbies, like puzzles, watching TV, going to movies, that type of thing. But since I started this process last summer, I did add the outdoor activities like kayaking and paddleboarding. I got a paddleboard for Christmas. So paddleboard's on my list too. Started doing the hiking, the biking. Yeah. Just trying to be more outdoors and doing more outdoor activities.
Oh man. So I remember when you had told me you'd gotten that. And it was like, yeah, I'm going this weekend. I'm going here next week. I'm going here. And, you know, you've done some runs like the turkey trot. And it's like, man, you just like totally totally, you know, the hobbies have now become active hobbies. So what makes Carol tick? What motivates you? Like, what's the thing that just, man, gives you that zest that you love life?
Well, in reference to this process, it's really the goals and the list that get me motivated. For me, there's really nothing like the feeling of accomplishment when I tick off those boxes every single day.
Yeah.
It just makes me feel like I'm making so much progress.
100%. When you're talking about that, you're like, all of you are like daily habits and the habit trackers and stuff, yeah. Right?
So
it feels good to check those off because all those add up over time. And it seems like such a small thing, like got my water today, check. But it's like, you look back over the last 6+ months and you're like, oh my gosh, like look how many times I've actually done that. Mm-hmm. So let's dig into before CSF. Okay. So before you started working with us, what would you say are the top three problems or frustrations that you were feeling?
Probably failure, motivation, and fear.
Wow. Okay. Dig into those. Yeah.
Fear or failure with my weight loss attempts, every attempt I made, they stopped working. I tried every diet in the book. They work for a limited time, and eventually, you know, the weight loss would stop and stall, and I'd give up as soon as it stopped working, and I would stop the diet, and then the weight would return with a vengeance. Of course, you know, you lose so much weight, and then when you stop, I always seem to gain more than what I lost. And then with that, the motivation. And, you know, with failure came the lack of motivation and giving up on myself. Mm-hmm. I had resigned myself to the fact that I'd just always be like this. And I really had no hope or reason to keep going with the journey just because I kept failing at it. And then fear, I knew I was kind of like on a slippery slope being 100+ pounds overweight. I luckily hadn't had any medical conditions other than my knees, you know, grinding every time, you know, I'd go up and down stairs. But I knew eventually my luck would run out because heart disease and diabetes run pretty prevalent in our family and my family history. So I knew I had to do something to change the way of life. So I was ready to go under the knife and start with the bariatric surgery.
Yeah. I remember when we had our initial consultation call, you were very, very open about that with me and almost even seeing as this is like a springboard. Cause I know they do want to see people, you know, adopting good habits and losing a little bit of weight before going into that. Correct me if I'm wrong, but you had already had that appointment set.
Yeah, I actually had it set. And through a conversation that changed my trajectory on all of this, I was able to meet you. I changed my bariatric consultation appointment for 30 days later. Because my trajectory at that time was to have the surgery done by the end of 2023. So, because I just wanted to get it done and, you know, start again. But when I talked to you, I think I told you this is what I was going to do, but I still needed to learn how to live a healthy lifestyle for it to be able to stick. Yep. And you had asked me to, you know, basically just hold off just for a little bit, see how you like this, and then make your decision. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. So
yeah, that's pretty incredible. So you mentioned that you were kind of one of the lucky ones. You didn't have any real medical issues besides kind of like you mentioned your knees grinding, but what you saw and kind of maybe what might lie ahead for you was that family history of like, maybe the clock was ticking in your mind, right? So if nothing changed, let's say that you stayed on that path. I know you said you tried many times, start and stop. Can you remember how many times, or is it like countless?
It's countless. My entire life, I've struggled with this and tried every fad diet that came along.
Yeah.
And then it would stop. And then each time I'd gain a little bit more weight and to eventually where now I'm up over 100 pounds overweight. So,
yeah. Wow. And what would you say then physically, mentally, emotionally, if you stayed on that path, on that trajectory, like where did you see yourself going?
Well, I most likely would have undergone the bariatric surgery, but we know it's only successful for a limited amount of time. With the lack of knowledge and skills and motivation, I most likely would have started gaining the weight back, you know, within the next few years, because, you know, bariatric surgery is only a tool, and
right,
to be able to still adhere to a healthy lifestyle, to be able to have it successful. And yeah, with my previous attempts, I didn't know how to be successful at it.
Mm-hmm.
So
let's dig into that. Like, let's dig into the how a little bit more, and maybe some of the frameworks or things or tools. And, you know, what would you say are three of the CSF frameworks, tools, methods, things that you feel have worked best for you that maybe were new to you, new frames of mind, new ways to look at it? Like, you tell me what, maybe let's, like I said, if we can pick it up, three things, what would those three things be?
The first one for sure is the 4x4x4 framework, because I was nowhere near something like that. And that's the four meals a day, 4 hours apart with, you know, like protein, fat, vegetable, carbs.
Yep.
I was more along the lines of a 2x2x8. I would skip breakfast. I'd only eat lunch and dinner. And, you know, those were probably 6 to 8 hours apart. Mm. And it was all fats and carbs with very little protein and veggies. So I was always wanting to snack, especially in the evenings. And following this framework, my snacking and piecing essentially stopped.
Mm.
So, you know,
what were your like hunger levels like, or energy levels, when you did change to that 4x4x4 framework? And all, like you said, you did a great job of like laying it out, but for those who are listening, four meals, four ingredients, 4 hours apart. So that's breakfast, lunch, dinner, and a snack.
Mm-hmm.
That's proteins, veggies, carbs, and fats. And then having those about every 4 hours. But how are your hunger, energy levels, and things like, what did you notice when you started structuring your day like that?
I was never hungry. And I was eating so much more food, but still losing weight. And it blew my mind. I mean, it didn't make any sense to me from what I thought I knew.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you had to eat, you know, really small portions, and, you know, with like intermittent fasting, you're only eating once or twice within a time frame window. And so you're always hungry doing that. And I was never hungry. In fact, I was always full. And my piecing, I didn't need to piece anymore. One, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't bored. And, you know, with my snacks, if I had a sweet tooth, I'd sneak in like a little, you know, like a Yasso bar, you know, that was a healthy version of ice cream, which I'm an ice cream addict. So being able to incorporate something like that into a snack, you know, how am I able to have this? I've never been able to do this on any other diets or, you know, lifestyles. So
for sure. And I remember early on, you know, like you just brought something up and I'll pull it out. Like you said, I felt like I was eating more food. And the reality was the volume of food that you were eating probably was more than you were accustomed to, right?
Mm-hmm.
The difference being is, you know, the way that we look at food on a plate when it's filled up is like, we look at it with our eyes and say, that's a lot of food. But it's really, our body looks at it in terms of how many calories are contained within that food. So even if we're eating less volume, but higher calorie foods and things like that too, we might think we're eating less than we are when we're not. And I do remember that. One of the first few weeks in, when you're like, this is way more food. And you're even like struggling sometimes to get up to the calories that
I even asked, do I have to eat it all?
Yes. And what was my answer?
Yes.
Yes, you do. Cause really we kind of had to tank the metabolism really. It wasn't used to just processing that food and, mm-hmm. and eating that much volume. So that's awesome. So the 4x4x4 framework, you said it, your old way of doing things like 2x2x8. So two meals with two ingredients, carbs and fats, and about every 8 hours. But you also said in there, you're able to include things like ice cream, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
You said you're an ice cream addict, self-proclaimed. I think I am too. I love my Halo Top ice cream. So
yes.
For those out there that enjoy ice cream, those are good, high protein, low calorie. And I haven't invested in one yet. I've got to convince Renee, but the Ninja Creamy, those everybody's making those things out there and they look awesome. So I got to try one of those. Do you have one?
I don't. No. My sister-in-law does, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
I don't want to get one.
I think that's my next purchase. So framework one, you said, what are some more, maybe two more?
The exercise tool was really helpful for me. Being able to see that and have it scheduled was more of a motivator for me. I mean, it was, to be honest, it was really hard for me to get to a gym, but because I'm not a gym rat, never have been, never looked forward to going. But once I found a gym that worked for me and I learned my way around it, each time I went, it became a little bit easier and I became more comfortable because I always felt like all the eyes were on me. And it was easier for me to talk myself into going when I saw it on my schedule. And the program that you set up for me was really good. And I'm at a point now where if I miss a day, I feel the urge to want to find the time to be able to go so I don't lose my progress, because you can see your progress on there too with where I started, you know, with the weights and where I am now. So being able to visually see that and see the progress that I'm making, because, you know, you go from day to day and you don't really realize it, but being able to look back into the past, it's really helpful to be able to know that, oh, well, I was lifting, you know, 10 pounds. Now I'm up to 40. You know, it really does make a big difference.
Yeah. When you can track those workouts in the app and just like you said, if you're like, man, I'm doing 40 pounds on this now with, you know, more reps than when I was doing 10 pounds and less repetitions. And we even started you on what would be considered kind of a beginner program. And we've even advanced you to the next step of the program. And I think we're probably pretty soon, Carol, going to be moving you to the next step of that as well. But let's talk about why, specifically with the strength training, because I think most people who are on a weight loss journey, what do they want to do? Cardio, right? Like lots and lots and lots of cardio. Let me get on the elliptical machine. Let me get on a rower, a treadmill, go running, etc. But why is strength training so important? What can you remember from what we've taught you? Why was that so important?
One, I feel better.
Yeah.
Two, the metabolism, it's affected. And I just feel, I don't know, I just feel so much stronger and more energized to be able to do it. And I don't know, I just, if I didn't have the structured program that I have with the tools on the tracker, with being able to see it on my calendar, I'd be running amok. I'd never do it. I'd never go down and do it. But being able to do that, it really does motivate me and check it off the list. But yeah, I just really like the, I never thought I would say that, but I really do like the exercise part of it.
Like you said, you weren't necessarily a gym rat. And I think there's a lot of people out there probably sitting right where you're at or were at, Carol, and thinking to themselves, you want me to go to a gym? Like, seriously? Like, you know, how many people are going to be there and looking at me and I'm going to feel, you know, embarrassed and not know what to do. And, you know, this is as close to holding your hand as we can get of like, here's what to do. Here's what days to do it. Here's how, you know, a video that shows you the proper form and exercise, like just go put some headphones in, listen to some music. And literally we're right there on your app, on your phone with you. We'll walk you through it. Log the workouts you did and you hit the nail on the head. Like, why are we doing the strength training and making that the bias of our programming is because the metabolism, it's really building muscle. And building muscle is going to speed up that metabolism. But the other thing is the strength and the confidence that you get from, like you said early on, I'm doing 40 pounds and I was doing 10. Like there's so much more to it on the psychological side of it.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I'm keeping that one in my back pocket for my vacations and cruises now too.
Nice.
They all have gyms and everything. So going back to seeing the progress, it's really motivated me to make those like non-negotiables for those, just because I don't want to lose that progress. So,
100%. And you've got a trip coming up here in a couple weeks, right?
Yep.
It's awesome. Where are you going?
It's a cruise out of Miami to Puerto Rico and some of the Caribbean.
Nice.
Yep.
That's incredible. Well, what's one more framework that you say has been something you've used that's been very helpful and has worked for you?
the calorie and goal tracker.
Yeah.
Being able to see in front of me the calories and the goals and everything that I'm eating keeps me so mindful. Before, you know, I had no idea what I was eating when it came to calories and foods. And you just forget what you eat throughout the day and then you just eat again and it all adds up really super fast. But with being able to visually see it and track it, it's made a huge difference and makes you really realize exactly what you're eating and what you're ingesting.
Yeah, 100%. And like you had mentioned even before, the habit tracker of seeing how many days I've hit, you know, like right now you're tracking calories, you're tracking protein, you're tracking fiber, you know, you water, right? Like there's you know, all these layers that we layered on, but we didn't start with those, right?
No, slowly build up to it. Yeah.
I think that's one of the biggest mistakes people make too. And I'll liken it to like going to the gym. Like you said, when you're a beginner, I think we all get and understand, like if I'm a beginner going to the gym, like I can't do all the things that are in here. I need to build up to those things. Eventually I'll be able to do all these machines or all these exercises. And so we kind of like are good at pumping the brakes there. But when it comes to nutrition, like we tend to want to start everything right now because I want the results yesterday. And so that's one of the biggest mistakes that we find people make is like the all or nothing, like doing everything. And sometimes people who are working with us are like, you know, week one, it's like, cool, this week is like your track your food and hit your water goal. And like, we get off that first call and they're like, that's it. Like, I just hired you and you told me to like track my food and drink my water. Right. But now months in, it's like, we're juggling all these things and every once in a while, I'll throw a new challenge in there. Like we started with fiber, right? And we're like, whoa, what's this? Something new. And it's tough for a week or two. And then you get it and you learn how to adjust. And, you know, before you know it, you're doing it. So that's awesome. So with that, let's talk real quick. What did we do with your calories before the holidays?
Increase them by quite a bit.
Yeah. And, you know, increase them by probably, I don't know what, 400 or 500 calories per day, roughly, that we've gone up. And what happened? I'm curious, Carol, what happened to your weight during that time?
Well, I still maintain and I even lost a little bit. So
yeah. I think that's a big shocker for people when we do that, right? And it's like a magic trick, like, hey, Carol, watch this. We're gonna raise your calories and watch your weight keep going down. And because you had done the strength training. You had followed the 4x4x4 framework. You were hitting calorie goals, protein goals. You were doing all the things. Like you were a well-oiled machine, if you would say it that way. and now we're just feeding the machine more and more and more so that it burns hotter and hotter and hotter, right? And eventually here in a couple of weeks, when you get back from your cruise, we'll probably jump back into a little bit more of a steeper deficit. But we wanted to give you a little bit of a quote diet break for a little bit of a while so you could enjoy the holidays, have some more calories. You know, you've got your cruise coming up and then, hey, let's get back at it because let's talk about the outcomes. Like so far, I mean, we started this journey of, you know, having scheduled already, you know, weight loss surgery to like, let me build some habits and everything else to, you know, set myself up for success post weight loss surgery. Well, where are we at so far, Carol, after the 4x4 framework, the strength training, the calories, like where are we at now?
Well, I've lost a little over 40 pounds and I'm still going strong. normally by this time, like I said before, I've stalled out and have given up. And right now I'm just still as optimistic and enthusiastic as ever for the next, what's the next portion to come? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've set these mile markers and it's like every single one you've knocked off and knocked off sooner than we had the date set for. And, you know, I remember when we had hit one of them and you saying that to me, you're like, just so you know, like this is the furthest that I've ever been. And anytime I've tried this before, I've gotten to this point or just before and hit a wall, hit a plateau. And shortly before that, we were at kind of a little plateau, right? And it was like,
it was making me nervous.
Right. I know. And you were nervous. And going back to what you said earlier, the fear, right? The failure, right? The motivation. What do you think kept your head in the game? when you were at that little place right before where you had given up before? Like, what kept your head in the game, even when we were kind of at a little mini plateau at that point in time?
Just trusting the process. Just listening to what you had to say and knowing that if I just kept going, that I would be okay.
Yeah. Sometimes we need that, like the trust fall, you know, where it's like, close your eyes, cross your arms. I will catch you. Just fall, you know, scary thing to do. And like, are you sure? Wait a minute. let's talk about then. So we said before, like you were facing the weight loss surgery and we ended up canceling that, right? You canceled the appointment, canceled the call. Like, I don't think I need to do that. You were also looking at possibly, you know, family history of a lot of those health ailments and things like that before. Have you had any like lab work, blood work, or anything like that done? Checkups, physicals, anything like that lately? To see,
I kind of haven't. I'm due here soon within the next couple months, but that's actually what motivated me to find a solution, is because my annual physical, for the first time ever, I had the high cholesterol. And I never had that before. Every once in a while, a little bit of high blood pressure, but it would go up and down. But the labs came back with a high elevated cholesterol. So I knew I had to do something. Otherwise, it was just going to get worse and worse and worse. And that's what started the process. But I am anxious to get back into the doctor's office. First time ever. to find out what everything is saying. So
I'm excited to hear the look on the doctor's face when you show up too, and they're like, you know, look in your chart, and they're like doing a double take, like, wait a minute, what?
Because she's the one that approved me to go for the appointment. She says it's probably time to do it. So for the bariatric appointment. So going back a year later and telling her that I didn't do it and went a different route, she's going to be really happily surprised.
I think so too. That's awesome. So let's go back to some of those mental, emotional, physical stuff. You mentioned some emotions. You said fear. You said failure. With where you're at right now, you've lost 42 plus pounds. You've avoided weight loss surgery. What are the emotions you're feeling now?
I'm happier. Walking has been, and seeing that step counter has probably been the biggest impact on me emotionally. I've been fairly consistent with keeping those steps up since June, and I've never felt better, not only physically, but mentally as well. I mentally attribute that to the walking part of it. Plus, you know, the progress that I see with the weight counter, but just how I feel physically has helped my moods and emotions and depression and everything like that. And I'm more optimistic on what the future for me is physically than I've ever been.
Yeah, that's incredible. So happy versus feeling like a failure and having the fear. What else? Any other emotions that you can
confidence? I mean, I've never had that with weight loss before. And I feel confident that I'll meet my goals plus more.
Yeah.
I'm all ready to meet my first goal, you know, because I cut my goal down kind of short because I wasn't confident that I'd be able to have such a large goal of 100 plus pounds.
Yep.
So I'm confident I'll meet that, and I'm already preparing and ready to go past that. And I've never felt like that before.
That's phenomenal. I think that, like, that's a bit like the confidence of not only knowing that I can, but I'm going to. Mm-hmm. And it's not an if, but a when. And the fact that you're in the driver's seat and your hands are on the wheel and you are in full control of that. Whereas before, maybe feeling like this is something that controls me and I don't control it. And whether or not it happens is out of my hands. When in reality, it's 100% in your hands. Like, you've done such an amazing job. Speaking of like the future, you know, where we go from here, let's talk about what would you say are three lessons, if we can pull out three lessons that you've learned up to this point that are maybe some old broken false beliefs or new beliefs, new mind frames, new way of looking at this that you have that you would want someone else to know who's right where you're at and listening to this?
The first one I can think of is I can eat. I love to eat, obviously, and that's what got me here in the first place. But I've learned that I can eat anything I want to, not just everything, as long as I stay within my goals. I've never once felt deprived. And I eat, like we talked about before, is, you know, I eat more food than I actually want to eat. And yeah. It just
isn't that crazy?
Continually blows my mind that I'm still losing weight and I'm able to eat just about anything I want, just not everything at the same time.
Yeah.
It's like the calorie and goal tracker. It's like, going back to that really quick, it's like a game of Tetris with meals, you know, just kind of like fitting, like, I want this item. I can go in and adjust for it so I can have it. And I can fit all of the little pieces around it so I can have it.
That's amazing. I love that you said Tetris, because I've actually said that before, of how it kind of is like that. And if you gamify it and you think of it that way, of like, you know, I heard somewhere that, you know, sucking at something is the first step to actually being kind of good at something. And so in the beginning, it's hard and we're gonna screw up and mess up. But if we look at it as gamifying it, of like, okay, once I figured this out, and you've gotten to that point. So like you said, I can eat. What are some other lessons? Like you said, false beliefs, new mind frames. What are like two more?
Healthy food doesn't have to be bland.
Oh.
I mean, throughout the process, I've started to replace my standard ingredients, you know, with the healthier options. Just for example, pork sausage to turkey sausage. You know, you make spaghetti with the turkey sausage and you don't even know the difference.
Yeah.
And your portion sizes are so much bigger because it's a healthier version of the same food type, and you can have more of it. And I just had to find the right brands for me and my taste, which can take some time and still learning, but learning to find the healthier versions of those food items it makes a big difference.
100%.
Yeah.
It's funny because, you know, I was having a conversation with another client recently about that. Like you said, it takes a while to find the things that you like and the brands and what have you, but our tastes are actually acquired. We've heard that before, like acquired tastes, and our taste buds actually turn over every few weeks as well. So if you are eating the same things over and over and you introduce something new, oftentimes like it doesn't taste that great, but if you just keep at it for a while, you really do acquire a taste. And to your point, I mean, you can make things like spaghetti, swap out the pork for the turkey. It's leaner, less calories, more volume. So that's, again, back to like, oh my God, I'm eating so much, I can't even finish what's on my plate.
Yeah.
Right. That's awesome. So we've got, I can eat. You said healthy food doesn't have to be so bland. What's one more, maybe new belief, mind frame, or a broken old belief?
I've learned new ways. I guess it kind of coincides with the healthier foods don't have to be bland, but I've learned new ways to cook healthier by using the leaner cuts of meats.
Yeah.
And the big one is, you know, learning to read what's on the labels. So I get the healthiest version of a food item. It's just super important for me now to go to the grocery store and look at those labels.
And know what you're looking at, right?
Yeah. I'm looking at, know what to look for on that label rather than just looking at it, just the calories, for example. I mean,
Now you're looking at calories, protein, fiber. And I always say, like, the front of the package is the marketing. That's the one that gets us. It's like, hey, come buy me, I'm bright and I'm shiny. And on the front, I say, you know, contains this or doesn't have that, you know, and it's like, flip over. It's like, okay, what's really inside of here?
Right.
And yeah. That's huge. Having the knowledge and the confidence and knowing what you're looking at. So that's awesome. So if you were to give advice, Carol, to someone who's starting this journey, starting this process right now, what would the advice be? Maybe three tips, three steps, three things that you would tell them.
Trust the process and your coach. Like discussed, I'm eating more than I've ever had. And it really stressed me out at the beginning because I was just like, this is not what I've learned from the past. And it's just, trust the process would be the first tip.
Yeah. So trust the process, even if it feels counterintuitive. I heard somewhere before, this was actually a coach elsewhere in another realm, but it was something to the degree of, if it should feel uncomfortable and it should feel contraindicative of what you normally would do, because if you normally would do it, it would have worked before, right? And so like a lot of the things that you're going to be coached through this process are going to feel a little bit like you said in the beginning, the 4x4x4 framework, and you feeling like, I'm eating way more. Adam, do I actually have to eat this much? Yes, Carol, we have to eat that much. Then when we get to a certain point before the holidays, Carol, hey, guess what? We're going to increase your calories. You're like, wait a minute, what? Like, yep, we're going to take them up. We're going to take them up quite a bit. You're still going to lose weight, I promise. Just trust me, you know. So that's a good one. Trust the process is a great, great piece of advice. What are maybe two more pieces of advice or steps you would tell somebody starting this process?
From me, from what happened to me, I would say don't get overwhelmed with the meal tracking and entering in the foods. I started to get a little bit overwhelmed with this piece at first. And I think I told you, I was like, this seems to be taking a lot of time. But within a couple of weeks, I had it down and now it's just natural. And, you know, that's the first thing I want to do is make sure I'm entering in all my stuff correctly. And it doesn't take nearly the amount of time. It was just a learning process.
100%. A big learning curve. I'm glad you stuck it out. And I'm sure you've probably shortened that process a lot by saving some favorites in the app and, you know, some custom foods. And, you know, you probably can look back over and just bing, 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 done. And it probably takes you a matter of minutes, I'm guessing. What
paste feature?
Say again.
The copy and paste feature is really nice.
Heck yeah. I don't know if you've used this one before. I just showed a client recently how they, you know, planning for the next day, and they didn't know, and you may not know this, but you can actually log multiple days at once. Like you can say, I want to log for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday breakfast. This is what I want to have. Put all the ingredients in there and hit log. And it literally puts that for the breakfast for all of those days. So definitely speeds up the process.
Yep. I typically have the same breakfast every single day.
Yep. What's one last piece of advice that you would give somebody who's either at the beginning of this process and starting the journey today or looking from the outside in?
Just get moving. I was surprised on how much the simple task of just walking improved, like I said earlier, my moods and mood swings. I'm the type of person that prefers to work outside or walk outside versus on the treadmill, even when it's 100 degrees here, because I'm in Arizona.
Yeah.
But I have so much more of a positive outlook than when I first started, but just get moving, because, you know, you're sitting on the couch and you get stiff and sore and it makes it harder and harder to get up and move. But once you start getting up and moving, it just gets easier and easier every time.
And you really took that to heart. I know you had a recently, you know, like a employee challenge and whatnot for you guys to move, but even still, you know, your step count, you know, 8,000-10,000 steps a day for you is a regular thing, a non-negotiable. But there was days you were getting 15,000-18,000 steps when you were doing that step challenge. And, you know, it's like, Carol, that's awesome, but we're going to burn out here. Like, let's tone it back a little bit, right?
Dial it down.
Yeah. But still, like, you getting 8,000-12,000 just on a regular basis, especially because you work from home. I do too. I mean, this is my home office right here that I have a walk scheduled when we get done with this, so I can go get my steps in for the day too, right? It just has to happen. So that's great. You said, trust the process. Don't get overwhelmed at, you know, there's a learning curve involved. So understand that. And then you said, get moving. I think those are great pieces of advice for somebody who's just starting out. So is there anything that you would say that you've kind of twisted, turned, created, molded your own frameworks from anything that we've done?
Recipes.
There you go.
That comes to mind. Really, I'm not imaginative at all when it comes to cooking. I'm able to follow a recipe and cook good, but I lack imagination when it comes to that. So I get all kinds of ideas using the recipes and guides that are provided. But then I've also learned, you know, to incorporate my own, like what's in my own pantry into those recipes as well to fit my needs at the time. So yeah, recipes are one of the top things that I really take to heart and have learned to use on my own with my own ingredients.
That's awesome. I think I saw a lot in your food logs that pumpkin smoothie, the pumpkin pie smoothie.
That was really good.
Yeah, that one is really good.
Yeah.
Well, as we kind of wrap things up here, Carol, what would you say is next? Like, I know you continue to throw out that 100-pound goal. What is that, the ultimate goal? What is the ultimate goal for you?
The 100-pound goal is more of a secondary goal. It's not necessarily as important to me as just being physically healthy and being at a comfortable weight where I can really realistically maintain it. Ultimate goal, and I don't even know if it's achievable, would be to hike the Grand Canyon. I've always wanted to do it, but I've never been able to physically.
Yeah.
I have a long ways to go before that can really become a reality. And honestly, I'm not sure if I can with my knees, but when I get down to my weight that I want to be at or a physically comfortable weight, I may not have that issue anymore. I don't know. I've never been there, so I have no idea.
But, that is incredible. Hike the Grand Canyon. Listen.
Yeah.
You never know. Like you said, it's, you know, you drop some more weight, your knees feel a little bit better. We work on some strength in those legs. I love that. And the reason I like that too is because it's not necessarily an outcome goal, right? It's like, that's something I just want to do. We had a client who wanted to go skydiving. Like that was their thing. Like they wanted to lose the weight because there was a weight limit to go skydiving. Mm-hmm. I think that's an incredible one. That's awesome. Well, Carol, I want to thank you for coming on here today and sharing your journey to this point with us and giving us everything from the frameworks that have helped you to, you know, the mindset shifts that you had, the advice that you would give to people that's starting out right now. Anything that we didn't cover today that you wanted to touch on before we sign off?
Not really. I think we covered everything. Just give it a try. I mean, you'd really be surprised that how easy it really is. It's always been so hard for me. This is the first time it's ever been easy.
Wow. That's awesome. Well, thank you again for your time, Carol. And we will absolutely have you back on when we do hit that goal. And hopefully when we have you on, we're talking about either having scheduled a trip for a Grand Canyon hike or maybe have already done that hike the next time that we have you on. But Carol, it's been awesome.
I'm committed.
Yes. You said it. You put it out there in the universe, right? I heard it. They heard it. Everyone heard it. So the Grand Canyon is calling your name. Well, Carol, thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate you. Everyone else who's been listening in today, what I'm going to do is I will put some of these frameworks, like specifically the 4x4x4 framework, in the show notes with a link for you to download if you'd like to pick that up and grab that. But Carol, thank you again for your time. And let's keep kicking ass. We got more to go.
Thank you.
You betcha. Hey guys, this is Adam, head coach at Copper State Fit. If you felt inspired by the show you just heard and feel like taking it a bit further, we'd like to help. For those of you looking to take baby steps, download our free MyFitnessPal tutorial and macro cheat sheet. Link can be found in the show notes. And for those of you that want to take a little more than a baby step, schedule a free phone consultation with us. We'll answer all your questions and provide you with personalized information. No strings attached, no obligation to buy. But if you do, we'll throw in a bonus. Mention podcast 49 in your consult notes and we'll take $49 off your first month. The only wrong decision is indecision, so pick what's right for you. Thanks again for listening. I look forward to speaking with you.